Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
I guess fuck me.
Yep.
Because that was supposed to be my turn.
Nope. It's Friday, baby.
I am Zach.
We're 2 hours into this movie.
We are 2 hours into this movie, man. Crazy.
Yeah.
We're here. This is minute 120. 119.
120 minutes
of
Dune. I think we've got about 30 minutes left of part one.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So we are firmly in the home stretch.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's pretty crazy to think about, actually. Holy shit. We are going to finish this week out strong today. So yesterday, Paul decided to, you know, have a little waking dream in the middle of the most chaotic moment of his life, probably.
Yep. It's not really good when your pilot in command just has a goes off into la la land,
disassociates for a second.
Yeah, it's really I understand Jessica's concern at this point.
Yeah, okay. Maybe we were a little harsh on her earlier about being so stressed out all the time. Yeah, no, and then the voices in Paul's head just tell him to let go of everything. So what does Paul do? Hits a couple switches above him, turns the engines off, and just pushes the flight stick away.
Yeah, and Jessica's like, huh?
What? What? Well, kind of. Yes and no. She also kind of just, like, is accepting of everything, so I'm wondering if she, first of all, has any insight to Paul's prescience. And if she, or if she just like blatantly trusts him at this point, because she knows that he has changed.
Yeah. I'm sure it's a mix of those.
Yeah.
I want to believe that she distrusts him at this point. When I was watching this little sequence right here, my mind went into, do you think Jessica knows how to fly one of these things?
Probably not.
I would agree. So
I don't think ornithopter flight school is part of the Bene Gesserit training.
It's true. It's very true. But so she just sees Paul shut things down.
Yep.
And you know, push the yoke away, and I'm like, that's probably terrifying for her.
What she does, and the wings kind of fold in, and you know, engines are disabled. And we just see the ornithopter spinning so madly out of control in the storm. You know what it almost reminded me of is, you know, the seeds that have like the little wing on them, and then you drop them and they kind of like spiral down to the ground. Yeah, that's kind of what it looked like.
It's very similar motions. Yeah.
Yeah.
You missed a good opportunity for a joke, by the way. Paul yeets the yoke. Stupid, but it's there.
The yoke was yacht.
The yoke got yeeted.
Yacht.
Yacht. Oh, is that?
Yeah.
Is that the past tense?
Yeah. God, learn your fucking grammar.
Sorry. So I see, I have here, Paul yeets the yoke away, and then Jessica is figuratively and literally along for the ride.
Yeah. They just both kind of, you know, clasp tightly at their harnesses, and I think they're.
Yep.
Just riding it out.
Buckle just up, like baby. I do with
my anxiety, baby. Let's go.
Yep. It's the wings go back, more streamlined aerodynamics. I mean, it's still going to be blown around all which way, but if you have those wings extended, then it's going to be much worse.
Yeah. So on Monday, we were talking about how this past weekend we experienced a hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
The
remnants of a hurricane.
Yeah. In fairness, Atlanta got hit with, you know, heavy storms and stuff, but nowhere near as bad as like the coast of Florida or Central Carolina or whatever.
No.
But I can only imagine how terrifying this would be inside of, you know, 400 mile an hour windstorms.
Yeah, that's insane. Yeah. Something we didn't mention, dramatic music is blaring at this point.
Sure.
Just absolutely blaring.
The music might as well just have been Hans Zimmer yelling into a microphone.
He'd make it sound good.
Sure.
Well, and the reason I mentioned the music now is because
we have the hardest cut yeah. to just peaceful silence.
Yeah.
Except for the little hand harp.
Well, yeah, we cut away and it's someone wearing like a Patrick Bateman looking raincoat.
With individual finger condoms.
Yes. Yes. And they're playing an instrument. And I'm going to put playing in quotes here. How would you describe this instrument, John?
I call it a hand harp.
Okay. What does it look like to you?
It looks like almost like a comb with like really fat teeth on the comb.
I know exactly what this looks like because I bought things to make one.
Oh, okay.
So what this looks like to me, you know, those hematite magnets.
Yes.
There's a certain shape of them. There are some of them are those, they're oblong. Like I think they call them like rattlesnake eggs or something like that. Mm-hmm. It looks like four of those that have four super bounce balls
yep.
all painted black
yep.
on each corner.
Yeah.
And if you zoom in, do you have a picture of it?
No.
When you're next time you fire up the movie, if you zoom in on it, you can even see the line on the ball.
Oh, really?
For like the, for, you know, when the bouncy ball was yeah. like injection molded or whatever.
Yeah.
You can see that.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So this looks like.
Props just kind of threw this one together.
This looks cheap. This looks really cheap right here. And I have a bag of bouncy balls at my house. And, uh-huh. I have some of those magnets. I was going to pick up
You throw those together?
Well, I was going to pick up some black metallic paint for the bouncy balls and actually make them.
That's funny.
Yeah. So
holy shit.
Incoming your way.
All right. Cool.
I got enough for two. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hand harp is probably accurate.
One thing that I noticed was like, if you listen, and you got to listen closely cause it's very quiet, but like the sound varies in intensity as they're like pressing on the thing, which great attention to detail for whoever was doing the sound for this.
Yeah, well, sure. And that music is just like,
super
weird peaceful. Ethereal type music.
I in my notes it just says like therapist office music.
Sure. It's Harkonnen Muzak.
Muzak.
So we pan up to see a very interesting looking person.
Not
grotesque, not stunningly beautiful.
But not also not unattractive.
No, just very interesting looking person
with all black eyes.
Yes, that is unsettling.
Yes.
Incredibly pale.
Yeah.
Very bald.
I mean, as an incredibly pale person, I feel seen and represented.
Oh, you look like you work outside all day compared to this person.
I understand. Let me have my representation in film, hey, Zach.
Good. I'm glad it's there. I'm just saying you are not that pale. Very, very bald.
Yeah.
And I felt seen in that moment.
I don't know. You're letting your
I got shit, a little scruff
yeah, going, coming gotta, back in. You got to shave that shit down because yeah. you're starting to get to that point where you got that mid top of the head oh, yeah. forehead start thing going on.
My hairline's at a full retreat, my guy. It's not coming back. And pitch black eyes on this yeah. person, which is so strange to me. Whatever, like
uncanny valley.
Part of my lizard brain activates when I see like this. Yeah. It's very, very strange.
Yeah.
We don't really linger on the person too much, because we flash over to another, I guess they're servants or just workers in the house or whatever.
I had them written down as like nurses.
Could be, yeah, attendance.
Well, because so we get this really cool shot of like this canister of thick black oil being poured into this massive open vat
yeah.
in the floor. And one of the attendants in Harkonnen says his healing isn't complete, which mm-hmm. to me says they're a doctor or a nurse of some kind.
Sure.
And who are they talking to?
Raban.
Beast Rabban.
Beast Raban. Yeah, he's over there looking menacing.
Yep.
Just a constant
Dave Bautista being Dave Bautista.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he dismisses that the nurse attendant, whatever, that told him that the healing wasn't complete, that poured the oil in.
Yeah.
But in the background, the one playing the little hand harp thing, she's just kind of like sitting off.
Yeah. Off to the side. So that's what made me, think less medical, more just attendance kind of thing. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. And we get this like sludge bath thing that's over here and it looks disgusting.
I have a lot of notes about the sludge bath thing.
Go for it.
For Monday's
episode. Okay. Gotcha. Okay.
It's my turn to be the cliffhanger because it's also relevant to who we will see on Monday.
Okay. Good deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get Raban's heavy breathing. He looks almost confused, but menacing at the same time.
I feel like most things confuse Raban.
Fair enough.
Raban doesn't really seem to be a...
he's a...
well-learned person.
Sure. Fair enough. He is a blunt object that the Baron uses.
He's the salt of the earth. You know. Imbeciles.
Morons.
Yeah.
Oh, God, was that Blazing Saddles?
Blazing Saddles, yeah.
Love it. Such a good movie.
I love it.
Could not be made now, but very funny.
But he is smart enough to know that the Harkonnens chased them, being Paul and Jessica, into a Coriolis storm with winds at 800 kilometers an hour.
Okay, that's where I got that number from then.
And the oil in this vat is just very slowly churning. And we have this really cool, like, low grumble sound coming on from inside of it.
My note on that moment is cut back to the sludge and it gurgles menacingly. Everything's menacing in this scene.
Now, in the room as well, behind Raban. We have some gooners.
We got some goons.
Just fucking hanging out, guarding the door.
Back to doing what they do best, goon.
Yep. Gooning. And that's it. Our minute ends right there with the declaration that the winds are at 800 kilometers an hour and we get our slow churn.
That's right. I have some light book notes today.
Okay.
But most of them are going to be for Mondays.
Monday.
Like, yeah. What I'll say here is that this scene does happen. Mm-hmm. I don't recall the sludge being a part of the scene. But we do get the setting and Raban talking with the attendants and all that kind of stuff. So we do get this in the book. There's a couple of more characters that I'll talk about on Monday that are part of it.
Yep.
But I was, so far at least, they seem to be following pretty well.
Cool, cool, cool. Well, all it's right. Friday.
Yeah. What'd you think of this week?
It's not my favorite week. Going back to the death of Kynes and sending her off and everything, we talked about that obviously quite a bit on Tuesday and the differences between the movie and the book. And how the movie did as good of a job as they could have, I think, given the changes that they made to Kynes' character.
Yeah.
That said, there wasn't a lot to talk about. We had a lot of short episodes this week, and we're probably going to have a lot of short episodes next week. So to our listeners, thanks for, sticking through some short episodes. Hopefully your commutes to work or whatever were also just as short.
This is very much like transitional.
This is the show don't really tell week.
Yeah. I think. Yeah. We're getting to different places now.
Yeah. And it's weird for the movie because, like, we talked about in the book, we are at the start of the second book of the book. We are at the start of Muad'Dib.
Yeah.
So
a few chapters in at this point, but yeah,
sure. But the point is that, you know, if we're looking at the graph of storytelling,
mm-hmm.
we're kind of back to world building again, and not so much world building, but we're building plot.
Yeah.
We're not at the climax, or we're not approaching conflict
right
so much just yet.
Yeah. This, I mean, we just got done with a shit ton of conflict.
Right.
So this is like our refractory period now.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're kind of in that lull to get back to a new challenge.
Yeah. Yep.
We could say. All in all, I think I would give the week probably 5.5 Shai Hulud, I think.
Okay.
Just because a lot of it is inside the dust storm, and to see it is very cool. To talk about it on a podcast where you go through minute by minute and analyze the movies is a little more difficult.
Yeah. So I think you're a little more generous than I was going to be.
Okay.
So,
well, a lot of that is also riding on Kynes's exit.
Yeah.
Too. So, and seeing Shai Hulud.
Given what we could have had with Kynes.
Yeah.
And the ending that we could have had, this portrayal or this week, not my favorite. Like you said, nothing against Sharon Duncan Brewster. She did a fantastic job. Mm-hmm. Playing Kynes, but it's just the send off for that character could have been a lot more. And then for all the same reasons that you said, it's a lot of just set pieces and setting things up for what's going to come. So not my favorite week. And it continues into next week. So, I was going to go at about 4.
Okay.
For me. So let's do this again next week.
Alrighty. Well, we'll be back, as always, for a whole other week of the Dune Minute. You can join us on Monday. In the meantime, you can also find us online. On Instagram, we are at the Dune Minute. On Twitter, we are Dune Minute. And you can email. On the old email machine.
We're on Gmail.
No, we are not on Gmail. On the old email machine, you can email DuneMinute@gmail.com. If you'd like to get in touch. Also, forgot to say it on all the episodes this week, but also feel free to share the show if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or on iTunes. Feel free to also throw us a ranking,
mm-hmm.
And you know, send out some comments, and we'll be back on Monday with some more.
Yes, we will. All right, see you then.
See you later.